Change has come to America.
Catapults of propaganda. The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And that would make me Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to the bunker. Welcome to 2009.
We've got so much to talk about.
We haven't talked for a long time.
That's right.
We of course, PID Radio has been in hiatus for many months now.
Since July.
And in fact, that's when we got Sam, the dachshund.
So we have many changes, of course. A new chief of security, Sam T. Dachshund, on duty there, sitting right next to you. It looks like he's sharpening his toenails just in case he needs to put them into use.
He is. We've also changed locations. We're in a different house here in Shelbyville, Indiana, and it's a wonderful old house. We couldn't be happier with it.
Yeah, we got other changes we'll talk about. We got some writing projects that we'll talk about, too, as we get into the show to let you know things that you can expect to see from us in 2009.
That's right. And, of course, the reason we're doing the show now, we are still on hiatus, of course, but we really felt compelled to have some sort of a retrospective and a prospective regarding 2008 and the brand new year 2009.
Of course, as we record this on January the 4th of 2009, the big story facing the world is the invasion, the incursion, the war, depending on who's reporting
it. It's a war of words in some ways.
Yeah, into Gaza by the Israeli Defense Force. And the pictures that we're seeing on television look pretty grim. Needless to say, there are a lot of people who are just caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a lot of money and a lot of words being expended to assign blame. Israel is being condemned by much of the world. The United States has blocked in the UN Security Council a measure to address the situation. Presumably, it would have had something to do with censuring Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But, and as we've said on this show many, many times, we don't confuse the secular government of Israel with God's chosen people, which
different entities.
That's right. I think that's an identity that many Christians make, that Israel is God's chosen people, and we don't see them as one and the same.
No.
However, if the shoe were on a different foot, if, for example, Brownsville, Texas had received a couple hundred missiles over the course of a week from south of the border someplace.
And not just over the course of a week, for months, maybe even years, ever since, well, even prior to Hamas taking over the government there, but especially since Hamas has gained majority in the government of the Palestinian Authority, the so-called Palestinian state.
Right.
It's been crazy.
Right. There was a ceasefire that had been in effect up until about a week before Israel moved in on, December 26th. And during the span of that week, there were over 200 rockets and mortar shells lobbed in. Not many casualties, a little damage. But again, if the situation were different, if it were, say, England taking missiles being lobbed across from France or Ireland, or if we were taking mortar shells from across the Rio Grande, or from Canada, although they'd probably use snowball launchers. Being serious, how long would we expect the United States or the UK or any other civilized nation to just sit back and allow its populace to be shelled?
Exactly. And it's more that, the mainstream media presents it as if, well, you know what, they're really not doing any damage. This is really just a mosquito bite to Israel. These rockets, they're hardly hurting anything or anyone. The truth is, these rockets can now go far, much further than they were originally.
Right.
They can go, about a third of the way into Israel? I mean, it's quite a distance. They can reach Ashkelon. I mean, they can go quite a ways. And they're coming very close to nuclear facilities.
Right. About an eighth of the population of Israel is within range of these missiles, which are being supplied by Iran. That's pretty much the consensus of Western intelligence. But that may be the key, that these missiles are displaying longer range. The town of Beersheba, which is east of the Gaza Strip, is about according to what I read yesterday, about 30% empty. I mean, a good many people have left. And that's a town of about 180,000 people. So we're talking about 60,000 people have just cleared out for points farther north. But the key there is that Israel's secret nuclear installation is about 30 miles east of Beersheba.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is that these missiles were just about powerful enough now to reach this nuclear facility where it's believed, not confirmed, but where it, because Israel's never officially confirmed that it does, in fact, have nuclear weapons, although everyone knows that they do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the facility where Israel keeps its nuclear weapons, it's believed.
Mm-hmm.
And a missile strike or a mortar shell hitting in the wrong place there could have dire consequences. Mm-hmm. So that may have something to do with what's happening in Gaza as we record this. But the question, of course, the bigger question, I think, for anyone who watches Prophecy is, what does this mean in the big picture? What does this mean in the big picture?
You know, right now we are at the most interesting point prophetically, because the entire world is riveted on what Israel is doing. And I would say 99% of the nations are condemning what Israel is doing, despite mm-hmm. anything that Hamas is up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel is the bully on the block, so to speak. It's only pretty much the United States government in the UN. The U.S. is not going along with the condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, it is only the U.S. that is standing between Israel and the U.N., possibly even going in and taking over. I'm not really sure how far the U.N. would take it. Israel also has been toying with the Israeli leaders have been toying with the idea of joining NATO.
That's really interesting.
Yes.
The North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The last time I looked at a map, Israel was pretty far away from the Atlantic.
Exactly. Israel is not officially a part of NATO, but they are partnered with NATO.
Mm-hmm.
You often see the Israeli-NATO agreement and terms like that. If indeed there is some sort of language in place that if Israel is involved in what is officially called a war, or Israel has areas of its own country that are at risk by another country, is NATO obliged to come in?
Well, that was the whole purpose of NATO in the first place, to counter the communist threat from Russia in mm-hmm. the 1950s. That's one reason that the Bush administration has been pushing for Georgia and Ukraine to be admitted to NATO,
mm-hmm.
so that if Russia were to do something again, like what happened this past summer in Georgia, that the rest of the NATO nations would be obligated by treaty to mm-hmm. intervene. And that's a scary thought.
Oh, it's a very scary thought. And another thing that we need to remember is that over the last few years, we've seen all sorts of color revolutions taking place
yeah.
in the Slavic nations,
mm-hmm.
in
Rose
Ukraine,
and
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, last fall we saw Russia supposedly invading. It's still unclear exactly, you know, which party started it,
mm-hmm.
invading Georgia, Ukraine. And Georgia have both partnered with the U.S., and the reason for that whole partnership is not just so we can democratize those nations. That's the that's the reason given by the Bush administration.
Right.
And that may be part of it, because there is a plan and has been for centuries to democratize the entire world, to make it all one government.
Mm-hmm.
Read Manly P. Hall if you want to know more. But beyond that, there is a pipeline that yep. runs from, where does it go? Where does it start?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it goes west from there and goes all the way to, gosh, what's the port
it's
in Turkey?
It's a port city in, well, port city in Georgia, and then on to...
And then on to Turkey, and then
well,
it
no,
ends
you're right.
up
it
in
does
Ashkelon.
Go to Turkey. Right, it ends up in Ashkelon in Israel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, when we say those rockets are starting to reach Ashkelon, that may have been one of the tipping points.
There are a lot of unseen hands at work in what's happening in the Middle East
and
in Central Asia, human and non-human. Because remember, as we discuss events in the news, we're always doing so with an eye to the verse from Ephesians 6. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There are unseen hands at work here, unseen to human eyes.
All we
can try to determine are the shadows through the news stories that appear. I mean, the news stories that we read that we see on the cable news networks are the shadows of the actual war taking place in the heavens.
And that's exactly why we are called PID Radio. The PID, if you're brand new to us, stands for Peering Into Darkness, which is why our main site, peeringintodarkness.com, has that name. Because we're looking at those shadows. We're trying to see exactly what it is they're doing. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be part of them. We're trying to look at them through the light of Scripture.
Right. But because we are limited by our human perceptions and guided as best we can by our understanding of Scripture, we are, as Paul wrote, it's as though we're looking into a mirror in a darkened room, you know, not really seeing clearly, just trying to make out the shapes as best we can. So we put this out there. The Gaza War, any conflict that takes place in the Holy Land has prophetic implications. And this is a conflict that's been going on since, you know, the days of Esau and Jacob.
It has been. And the Lord told us in Scripture that Israel would be a cup of trembling to the world, a cup of trembling to the nations, and would be a stumbling block, a stone in the foot, so to speak. And it truly is. The world, the UN, the United Nations, they don't know what to do with Israel.
Yeah.
And yet when you think about it, Israel is really a pretty small country. If you look at it logically, why on earth would the world just sit by and say, well, we don't really know, wring its hands, and we don't really know what to do? It's because the Lord God Jehovah rules over the spiritual nation of Israel, and he's only allowing what he wants to happen.
Yeah, and speaking of, that's a concept that really caused a lot of Christians some distress during the election cycle, presidential election cycle we just passed here in the United States. What do we do? Who do we vote for when we don't see a clear choice between the two major party candidates? There were other party candidates, of course. In terms of what he believes, Pastor Chuck Baldwin was of the Constitution Party was probably the closest to what we believe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But when it comes down to Barack Obama and John McCain, yeah, I don't know that either one of them is what you would call a clear-cut choice for a Christian.
No, and in fact, if you look at his choices, Barack Obama's choices now for his cabinet, he's clearly no different than McCain.
No, it's really interesting. And 2009 is going to be an interesting year to watch politically. I mean, every year is, but this especially, if only from a conservative's standpoint, to watch the distress and dismay of the progressives who supported Barack Obama as they slowly begin to realize that he's not really one of them. It appears that he's going to be no less warlike than the Bush administration has been. He's simply going to shift the time zone in which American troops are deployed. Let's take them out of Iraq, not all of them, of course, and put them into Afghanistan. And hence, Defense Secretary Robert Gates staying on board, as well as many of Gates's appointments. He also has some other well-known hawks that have been appointed to his cabinet. As in fact, his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, volunteered to go and serve in Israel during the first Gulf War.
Well, wasn't he born in Israel?
No.
No, his father was.
But his father was, and he volunteered to go back and serve as a citizen volunteer during the first Gulf War.
By the way, if you hear some grunting, some weird little noises in the background, Sam, our dachshund, is here right next to me, and he tends to make the funniest little sounds.
Dachshunds do that, we found, and so you might
so
not
it's
hear
not
the,
me, it's not my tummy, it's not, you know,
yeah, it's not
Sam.
The office chair, it's, yeah, unlike Murphy, who used to bark at inopportune times, Sam will just sit there and he'll just grunt and groan, and apparently that's a dachshund thing. So anyway,
so it isn't your connection.
So Barack Obama is heading into 2009.
Well, he is, and he's standing there. What is so funny is he's standing there as the possible savior.
He's being looked
of
to not
everything.
As right, not just in the United States, but around the world. The world is looking to Barack
They're
Obama
all looking
to save
him.
Us.
What are you going to do to solve this Israel problem? And that's why I say we are at such an interesting point prophetically right now. If you've read anything in the last 10 years about the year 2012. You know that most of the world is looking to December 2012 as some sort of major event. So we're leading up to that. If you've read Dave Flynn's book, you know that a lot of his research points as well to the date of December 21st in 2012. As we approach that, if indeed that is an event that is considered the beginning of the new age, or a time when the new man steps forward. It's a time when there's a rebirth and a great leader is supposed to arise, that if that happens, then that could be the point mm-hmm. where the beast, the man of sin, the Antichrist, mm-hmm. either begins a seven-year period or it's in the middle of the seven-year period,
right.
and he walks into the temple and proclaims himself God. If it's in the middle, that means summer of 2009 is a big deal.
Yeah, it's half, 3.5 years prior to the...
Yes.
Right. Or if, for example, a savior, and I use air quotes around that word, steps forward and manages to broker a peace agreement, a lasting peace, mm-hmm. lasting, again, in air quotes, between Israel and Hamas, Israel and the Palestinian world, Israel and the Arab world as a whole, mm-hmm. sometime this summer. Again, that's halfway through a seven-year period that culminates in mm-hmm. December 2012.
Now, there's a related news story that came out in early December, late November,
mm-hmm.
from Benjamin Krem.
Benjamin Krem, the octogenarian who's been saying for years that Maitreya, the Christed one, is about to reappear, and he finally released a press, he released to the press an announcement just a few weeks ago that we were to look for a bright star in the heavens within the next few days or weeks. He wasn't specific on when that would appear, but we're supposed to look for a bright star. And once we see that, then within a matter of days, Maitreya would appear on television to proclaim himself, to proclaim his return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it 28 years ago, I think, Krem first announced that Maitreya had come out of the Himalayas, where he was living with a number of ascended masters,
mm-hmm.
where they'd been observing the world and had decided that his time was now, that he mm-hmm. needed to return, and that he was living in the Asian community in London. This was 28 years ago mm-hmm. or thereabouts. Since then, he's only made one brief appearance, supposedly, in Nairobi, Kenya. There's a photo you can find on the internet of Maitreya, supposedly, at some prayer meeting in Kenya some years back. But that's the only appearance of Maitreya since he descended from the Himalayas. But according to Benjamin Krem, Maitreya is finally going to make his appearance within the next few weeks, supposedly.
And Maitreya is supposed to embody the return of just about every avatar you can name. Jesus, Muhammad, the Mahdi. He's supposed to be all those.
Buddha.
I think Maitreya is he's a Buddha, isn't he? He's supposed to be the last Buddha, sort of like the Mahdi is supposed to be the last Imam.
Something like that. He essentially embodies what the various world religions see as their Messiah.
Is Maitreya, sorry about this, I'm thinking out loud, is that a Hindu concept?
To be honest with you, I am not certain.
I apologize for those of you who are going, is she even sane at this moment? Well, actually, I have a cold, so I'm on drugs.
But we've not, frankly, not done a lot of study on Maitreya. Now, we've, again, as with all of the PID shows, PID radio programs, we will put show notes linking to articles mm-hmm. That we discuss so that you can do more reading rather than just taking our word as authoritative on everything. Because
please don't.
We're sort of like sieves. You know, we just kind of sift through stuff mm-hmm. and try to make connections out of it. But we don't pretend or profess to be experts in many or most of the things that we talk about. But Krem... is talking about the imminent return of Maitreya. In his words now, this is the way Krem describes Maitreya. Maitreya is the Christ to Christians, the Imam Mahdi to Muslims, Krishna to Hindus, the Messiah to Jews, and Maitreya Buddha to Buddhists.
Yes,
so it is a Buddhist concept.
I was right originally.
He is the world teacher for all, religious or not, an educator in the broadest sense. And then he goes on to give Maitreya the credit for the breakup of the Soviet Union, the reunification of Germany, the ending of apartheid, and so on and so forth.
Well, Sam takes credit for the fact that we have no, you know, badgers
in the
living
backyard.
In the house. So.
Yeah. That's a good...
you can take credit for a lot of things.
Yes, when you don't have to back it up with actual, you know, proof. So we'll look for that and see what comes in the sky in the next few weeks. But again, this is a press release that was issued early December, so we're about a month into it now, and we have not yet seen that bright star in the heavens.
No, we have not. Now, Benjamin Krem has the ear of some very high-placed officials. He has spoken to the UN. He's spoken to ancillary organizations to the UN. He is not considered a crackpot by these people.
No. His organization is called Share International. So if you hear that phrase, that mm-hmm. group, name, you'll know what you're dealing with here. It's basically the organization that has been teaching that this Christed one, Maitreya, is mm-hmm. about to reappear on the world stage. And, well, of course, just remember the words of Jesus, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect.
Exactly. So rejoice when you hear noise,
right.
news like this, because it's just a fulfillment of Christ's prophecy of the mm-hmm. last days. We are definitely in those last days.
Amen to that. Back to Barack Obama for just a moment. A lot of Christians, evangelicals, are up in arms over the selection of Rick Warren, the purpose-driven pastor, to deliver the inaugural invocation. This is a kind of an interesting choice because, again, the core of Barack Obama's support is from the progressive movement, the group that really dismisses, if they don't dismiss the existence of Jesus, period, they believe in a different Jesus, one who is open to whatever you want to do as long as it's in the name of love.
Well, that's true. But early in his run for the presidency, Barack Obama appeared at Saddleback Church.
Yes, he did.
And in fact, I mean, there was a big deal made about it at the time, and there were those in the Democratic Party that weren't happy with it.
Yeah.
But he has not been secretive about aligning himself with, I will call it, mainstream evangelicalism.
Mm-hmm.
Those that you and I often refer to as dominionists.
Yes. And we have done a whole lot.
Understand that mainstream evangelicalism is almost a political term.
Yes.
It is not necessarily a biblical term.
I would, and this is something that kind of disturbed me as we got into the second half of 2008, and we weren't doing PID radio broadcasts at this point. There was a
you and I just sat around
and grumbled
every day
at home
and grumbled about it.
Kind of groaned and grunted like Sam the Dachshund here. There was a well-known Christian broadcaster, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get into a he said, she said sort of thing, who came out.
He's really snoring.
He is. It's funny. You may not hear, the mics may not pick this up, but Sam is lying here on the floor snoring because we're not talking about him, apparently. A Christian broadcaster who's pretty well-known, and I don't, like I said, I don't want to get into a he said, she said sort of thing. But she came right out and said flat out that Joseph Farah, the publisher of Walnut Daily, was ate up for suggesting that Christians should vote none of the above when it came to choosing between Barack Obama and John McCain, because neither one of them was a real clear choice for a mm-hmm. thinking, serious Christian. Her point, the broadcaster's point, was that for a Christian not to vote for the Republican candidate was to act in a way that we know. Basically, she said it was going against biblical truth. Now, I would advise Christians to go to the Bible.
Show me that scripture.
Show me the scripture that says Jesus said you have to vote for a certain political party or any political party.
Yes,
any political party.
Or that you have to vote.
Or that you have to vote. Now, we believe in voting, being good citizens, but to carry it to the level of a biblical truth that you have to vote for A party or B party is, I think, taking it too far. And I would suggest that Rick Warren, who is not just hobnobbing with Republicans and Democrats, but also with Tony Blair in aligning with his United Nations related faith organization, ecumenical faith organization, mm-hmm. An organization devoted to pushing the Millennium Development Goals of the United Nations. I would suggest that Rick Warren should have many more important things to do than getting involved in politics.
He's very much involved in politics. And in fact, remember a couple of years ago, he went to Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And made some comments about the government of Syria there that...
they're great guys.
Yeah. Just ill-advised at the very least.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is an interesting choice, but again, I think is more indicative mm-hmm. of mainstream evangelical mm-hmm. Christianity, i.e. dominionists, inside the United States, and a belief that we need to have a seat at the table in order to do God's work. No, I'm sorry. God will work through whatever governments he chooses in his own way. But the goal of we as Christians, our mission statement, our command, according to Jesus, was to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations. It was not to form political action committees.
What?
Yeah, I know. Antithetical to what we know to be biblical truth, but there it is.
Well,
I guess,
you know,
I'm just a radical.
All of these things are happening, as we've said a number of times already, at the same time. Things are coalescing very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We've also got, we're about to have elections in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We have New Year's about to be celebrated in Iran. Which is it's a big deal there.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmadinejad has made it very clear that he hates Israel and would love to take him out. He doesn't believe that the Holocaust ever happened. He hates Israel. He hates Jews. We have heard from the IAEA that Iran very possibly could have nuclear weapons this year, mm-hmm. if not this spring. So yep. we're really very quickly coming upon what could be the life-changing moment in prophecy.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking, again, back to the Gaza war that is going on, that the timing of this was curious in that it, well, not curious, but maybe tied to the incoming administration. In other words, they wanted to launch it before Barack Obama was inaugurated and sworn in as our new president. But after thinking about it and thinking about what we just said, in fact, mm-hmm. about the members of his cabinet, Hillary Clinton, who was also a hawk as the potential new Secretary of State, I don't know that it would make any difference whether Barack Obama was president or not. So that leads to the question then again as to what is it about the timing? Perhaps the reach of the missiles from Gaza to the nuclear facility, perhaps something we don't know about Iran's military capabilities.
Well, that's entirely possible. And let's not forget, too, you know, I mentioned earlier that there are a lot of beliefs worldwide that center upon December of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Nostradamus is one of them who
yeah.
points to that date as being something. The Mayan calendar. These are secular. These are pagan
mm-hmm.
Observations. But this information, if it has any degree of accuracy to it, to be from God, Jehovah, it has to be 100% accurate 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can have something that is close to it coming from spiritual entities other than
right.
the Lord God Jehovah.
Sure.
And sometimes it's in God's plan that we hear these lies.
Remember the story about Ahab, who went to war with Jehoshaphat,
yes.
alongside Jehoshaphat against the Arameans. And God allowed a lying spirit to go down and deceive
his prophets.
He called
in the assembly. He said,
right.
"Who will go and lie for me?"
Right. You're right. It may be coming from a divine source, but not the Most High King.
Exactly. So
yeah.
when you take a look at these, bear that in mind. I'm not saying that things that are prophesied will indeed happen, but ask yourself, could it be that this is sort of halfway good information coming from a lying spirit? And I'm bringing that up because there are two prophecies that are in the news right now. One is from, I believe it's a gentleman in Utah. Who's from, Derek went, what? From a sort of splinter branch of the Mormon church, I think. And he's been saying that Obama would be killed.
Hmm.
That he would be assassinated before he ever became president. Derek is looking this up
as we speak. Yeah,
the other one, while Derek looks this up, is coming from a Russian who, for the last 10 years, has been saying by 2010... United States would be separated into six different regions, that we would have a civil war. Well, this is important to pay attention to. Again, this is the peering into darkness thing, trying to look at what's being said over here and over here and put them together in the light of Scripture and see if any of this looks like it could be coming from the enemy, or is this some sort of verification of what God has said at some point. Russ Dizdar has been telling us for a long time that a black awakening is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read a Russian prophet who is saying a great civil war is coming to the United States, and I look at Bible prophecy, and it doesn't appear that the United States has a big role to play in it, then I have to wonder where we are, and could it be that something happens externally or internally that takes us out?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm saying this is an extremely interesting time prophetically.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things are coming together. Did you happen to find anything on the Utah?
I did not. I'm going to have to go do some more looking, and I will find when we find the article that Sharon is talking about, we will again link those in the show notes, which you'll find online at PIDradio.com.
We have a number of interviews from the past with a gentleman named David Duncan, and bless his heart, we haven't heard from him for a long time, and we'd like to think that either David is just choosing to lie low, or if he's gone on to be with the Lord for some reason, you know, that we know that he is in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, because he lived such an amazing life.
Yes, he did.
And Dave, if you are out there, just send us a quick hi. Lord love him. He made it clear that he really believed that Christians, true Christian believers, the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, that we were being set up to take a fall.
Yeah.
And that the dominionist activities that we see now are there to make it look like all Christians are to blame for everything bad in the world.
Yeah. You can see the rest. The world's response to Barack Obama, I think, is indicative of the underlying belief that those fundy wackos in the United States are dangerous.
Exactly.
And that Barack Obama is going to change that and get America back on a more sensible course, which means basically more secular course.
Exactly. And that, the reason I'm bringing that up at this moment in time is because we have, over the last couple of years, there have been a number of news articles about white supremacist Christian ID sort of groups that have been plotting to take out Barack Obama.
Yeah.
If indeed this gentleman is seeing something that really will take place, and I pray, honestly, I pray that it won't, because I wish no harm to anyone. If something bad were to happen, it is very likely that the blame will fall at the foot of a Christian white man.
Yeah, and just as far too many people pointed to Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, or at least the guy who was convicted of it, as a Christian, and of course that couldn't be farther from the truth.
No.
Yes, these are interesting times with the changeover to Barack Obama as the new president of the United States. We won't even go into the very strong chance that Barack Obama doesn't meet the constitutional requirement to be the president of the United States. Because the truth is, we're probably not living under the Constitution. We're not living under the Constitution, or according to the Constitution in the United States anymore. Anyway, let's just make that clear right now. I mean, the government is basically doing what it wants to do. Look at the piles of money that are being extracted from American taxpayers and handed over to cronies of the administration. And then read the Constitution and find in there where the executive branch has the authority to do this.
I'm glad you brought up the money, because that's something else we need to get to. That I know many people listening to us, you're strapped for cash.
Yeah.
You know, most people are right now. The truth is that many people listening to us may be wondering how you're going to pay the bills this month, how you're going to put braces on your children's teeth, put shoes on their feet, and if necessary, send them to college. You know, we're there too. We know what you're going through. Some of you may be facing legal problems. Some of you may be facing, frankly, losing your home. And first of all, if you are in a situation where you feel like you just have nowhere to turn, please send us a note. We would love to put you on our prayer list. There are many, many people. We've got a wonderful forum, the Piercing the Darkness Forum. Mm-hmm. It's got a different name because it's run by one of our listeners. And so he called it something different rather than Peering into Darkness. That's a long story. We'll link to the forum in the show notes. There's some wonderful people there who would also love to pray for you. Prayer is the best way to seek a solution to your problem. Ask God's advice and his help.
Amen to that. And that gets back to wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces that are aligned against God. And that applies not just to personal situation. That also applies to political situation, which is something that is conveniently ignored by the dominionists, who believe that our power needs to be exerted through political action committees and through voting and through appointing the right judges to the Supreme Court, so that God's will can be done through political means.
These are distractions that are
meant to
divide us.
Yes, exactly right. And interestingly, it, as was evidenced by this Christian broadcaster this past year, who said that voting for a non-Republican candidate was going against what we know to be biblical truth, the Dominionists are going to turn on, I think, true Bible-believing Christians mm-hmm. who actually go to the Bible and say, wait a minute, I don't see anything in here about doing this in God's word.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, we're going to be catching it from both sides.
We are. And yeah. right now, back to the finances.
Yes.
It reminds me, what's going on right now reminds me of what we've seen in business practices, where a large business will annex or buy or somehow invest in another business, a competitor or a smaller business, and go in and just clean them out, gut them, mm-hmm. and then walk away. I just really feel like we're being gutted right now.
Yeah.
And the American taxpayer is really footing the bill for some high-rolling, fat cat, you know, wealthy people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to get you angry. I'm saying this to tell you there is nothing we can do on this earth in our own power. There is no law man has created that will solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Only the return of Jesus Christ will set up the kind of government that is truly fair.
Right.
Of the people and by the people, because it is headed by the King of Kings and the Lord
That's
of Lords.
Right.
So don't expect to have the kind of government that Jesus Christ would have. That being said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rest upon him, knowing that he will provide for you. Sorry, my cold medicine is kicking in.
That's okay.
But I guess what I'm saying is that doesn't stop us from observing and making comment on what is really going on. We're not to fret about it,
mm-hmm.
but we are supposed to test the spirits. We're supposed to be discerning about mm-hmm. what's going on around us. We're supposed to be as wise as serpents.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, as we've said a few times now, the ultimate plumb line, the ultimate arbiter of what is right and what is wrong is going to be the Word of God. And mm-hmm. anything that contradicts that, whether it come from another human or from an angel, you know, as the Apostle John said, test the spirits because not all of them come from God.
That's right.
And as the Apostle Paul said, if anyone else, whether it be another man or an angel, preaches a different gospel than the one that you
find...
Or an actor out of Hollywood. preaches a different gospel than the one that you find between the pages of the Bible. That person or that entity is anathema, which means eternally cursed. And Paul was so vehement.
He was.
He repeated that sentence twice. I say again.
Nicole used to refer to Paul as
Mr. Furious.
Mr. Furious.
Yeah, I think that was after we read the book of Galatians. He was pretty hard on the church at Galatia. They were, yeah.
Well, understandably so.
Yeah. Speaking of. And I'm just going to touch on this briefly because this was in the news as sort of a low light. It's being...
Sam is moving.
It's being obscured in the news, pushed out of the news cycle by what's happening in Gaza. But you mentioned that the United States is not explicitly mentioned in prophecy. I mean, one might argue that in Revelation, the eagle with great wings that takes mm-hmm. The woman out into the desert might be the United States, but that, you know, not a sure interpretation. The caldera at Yellowstone has been quaking, a swarm of quakes, mm-hmm. ringing like a bell since December 26th, the day after Christmas. There have been 500 quakes recorded on the north end of Lake Yellowstone, or Yellowstone Lake, rather, since within the last week. Now, the strongest quake was a magnitude 3.9, which is not enough to do any damage, really, but scientists are puzzled as to why there are so many concentrated in that small area. Over such a short period of time. They're not saying, you know, run for your lives, but if the super caldera at Yellowstone, the super volcano, were to blow, it would probably wipe out most everything we know west of the Mississippi River. I mean, that's just a guess.
It certainly could. The ashfall could certainly ruin the breadbasket of America.
Yes. So that is...
And if you look at prophecy, it's very clear that food is a scarcity.
Food is a scarcity, and the earth is...
It refers to how it reels like a drunkard.
Yeah.
So clearly some sort of major earth-shaking events are, and of course we read about at least one, if not two, major earthquakes
right.
that take place in the book of Revelation.
Considering that the earth wobbled in its orbit a little bit after the earthquake and tsunami that occurred a couple of years ago just off the coast of Indonesia, you think about what it would take for the earth to literally reel like a drunkard in its orbit, and just imagine the quakes in that day. And that was basically the interviews that we've done with David Lowe about what he believes to be the trumpet blast of the Lord and the quakes that would follow that. I mean, I really, really hope that I'm not here to have to see that.
I don't think you will.
Don't believe we will be.
No, well,
that's a topic for another day.
We'll see. We will see about that. But, you know, it is more than just Yellowstone that's sort of ringing like a bell, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. The Kamchatka Peninsula in Russia has been, for the last couple of years at least, and perhaps even longer than that, but I can tell you I've watched it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. If you go to the USGS webpage, you will see that there are all kinds of earthquakes there all the time. Papua New Guinea is another area that rings like a bell, so to speak, a lot. But the Kamchatka Peninsula just recently had a volcano that woke up after a couple of millennia.
Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things happening out there. And, of course, the global climatologists are keeping a close eye on it, and the wrestling continues as to whether or not it means we need to cut carbon emissions by whatever percentage. Is a couple of interesting things I noted when I was just looking at the climate change. I do note that Barack Obama's appointees for Secretary of Energy, his science advisor, and the head of the of NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, are all global warming believers. So we can expect and of course he's promised to spend $150 billion Obama has on creating green collar jobs. Whatever that means, but it's no sure bet, it's no sure thing that the climate is warming. In fact, the last 10 years, we've actually recorded cooler temperatures than in the previous, so whatever.
Well, we've just come out of a major sun cycle.
Yeah, imagine that. Global warming is caused by the sun? What? Whoa.
The sun was really, really quiet in 2008.
Yeah, and we're experiencing the first winter. We just had the first Christmas since since the winter from HE double hockey sticks, was, you know, Canadian, where Canada had 100% snow cover. It's the first time in 42 years or something like that. The reason I bring this up, though, is not to open the, you know, is it or is it not warming, but just because I think this ties into the bigger picture of the inexorable drive toward a one-world government. Why are so many influential scientists and governments buying into this theory? There are predictions that, in fact, there's an article published today, I believe, in the Washington Post that suggests that the next major wars may be fought over climate change because people are being pushed out of areas where they can get enough food, and so they're going to fight to get new land, and therefore we need to take it. You know, we need to take climate change seriously because it's not just about producing enough food. It's not just about keeping New York from being drowned. It's about keeping the peace. And so we need to address climate change from that standpoint. Why are we seeing calls for a global control over economic markets to prevent the kind of economic disruptions that were taking place right now? And in fact, this is why, if you visited PIDradio.com the last couple of months, you'll notice we kept the last interview we did with Dr. Jerome Corsi on the top of the page. It's not because we were too lazy to update the page. It's because we thought it was the most relevant interview we've done for what's happening right now over the last few months. The United States economy is not in the dumper by accident. He believes, and we think there's some merit to his argument, that this is all part of the plan to break down the sovereignty of the United States, destroy the economy. We have to go to a regional or perhaps global currency in order to smooth out these disruptions. It all points to in the same direction to a one-world government. How do you control the climate if you don't get everyone on board? How do you control the global economy unless you get everyone on board? How do you control global flows of labor unless you get everyone on board on one world government? The elites in this world, governed by the unseen hands of the Watchers or the fallen angels, however you want to term them, are trying to recreate the post-flood world, the pre-flood world of Atlantis, actually. And this relates to what you've been reading in the works of Manly P. Hall, a man who's been called by some the greatest
Freemason of the 20th century.
The greatest Freemason, their greatest philosopher. It all is pointing back to a one-world government, the kind of thing that Nimrod tried to recreate after the flood.
And that is what he espoused. He has passed away. He writes in his many, many essays and books, nonfiction, they're not novels, that the real goal of the insiders is to recreate Atlantis, which they believe was the original world and that it was run by philosopher kings.
Mm-hmm.
10 of them.
Interesting.
Yes.
I've not been able to devote as much time to that kind of reading over the last few weeks, it's something I'll need to do.
Why, we read about 10 world leaders who as yet have no kingdom.
10. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Prophecy. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So that's why we bring all these things together, not because we're railing against, scientists who are worshiping Mother Earth instead of looking at the data, not because we're looking at these greedy global bankers. It's because it all points to a bigger picture. When you step back, it becomes a little more clear. It all points to the same thing. We need a one-world government so that we can keep all of these things under control. National sovereignty, patriotism is the root of all of these problems, because you've got all these countries that are competing against one another, and that's what causes these disruptions in supply of food and water and money and so on. And we could eliminate all of those problems if we just had a one world government. And as a Christian who has read a little bit of prophecy, certainly not as much as you, but I mean, even for one like me who's just basically scratched the surface, it's pretty clear what that means. It's
scratching the surface is all any of us has done.
Well, it doesn't take a big scratch to see that the one world government is a huge component of the prophecies that have been left for us as to the rise of the Antichrist kingdom.
It's the big goal. And the truth is that many of the humans who are involved in this honestly believe it is a good thing, that they are doing a good thing.
Right.
And by not telling you and me and you of listening to this show, they're not telling us because we're not enlightened. It's we're going to take care of you. It's a paternalistic attitude that we are the ones who know the real truths, and therefore we're going to make this world good for you. And all you have to do is trust us.
Mm-hmm. And you who keep objecting and getting in the way with your talk of God and Jesus, well, we may not be able to make that evolutionary leap to ascendant to become an ascended master until you guys are out of the way. So more of these pieces are fitting into the puzzle as we look ahead at 2009. The more distressed we appear to be, and by say we, I mean as a people, as a nation, as a citizen of the world, the more we as a group clamor for government intervention to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised to read that about 60 or 65% of Americans were in favor of the government giving money to the big car makers.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was a surprise. I won't go into why, but I just had thought that more of us would be a little upset by the prospect of taking
Let's
money
see,
out of our
you're
checks.
You're losing $1,000 on every car you produce.
Yeah.
And this bridge loan will help you how?
Yeah. And the same thing with the banks. You know, there's a surprising number of people who think that the government intervention to save the big banks is a good move to protect the economy. So let's see what you're telling us is you need to take our money in the form of taxes and give it to the banks so they can lend it back to us and charge us interest.
Yeah. Okay, bankers, if you looked at if you and I walked in with credentials like this,
yeah,
they'd
would
laugh
you give
us
me
right
a loan?
Out.
Yeah, but again, the point is that a lot of people, as you said, are looking at Big Brother as the answer.
Mm-hmm.
We need that one world government.
And they're looking specifically to Barack Obama.
Yeah.
The entire world is looking at him as if somehow he has this magic bullet that he's going to fire that's going to fix the world economy.
Yeah. Barack Obama didn't raise, what was it, almost $750 million for his campaign?
Yeah.
He didn't raise $750 million in increments of $5 from little old ladies in Pasadena.
No.
He got it by saying what the big money men wanted to hear.
Yeah.
The number one industry segment contributed to Barack Obama's campaign was, surprise, investment bankers. They donated far more to his campaign than they did to John McCain's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect Barack Obama to go in and clean up the mess that was created by the likes of Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, AIG, et cetera, et cetera. Because they're the ones who were contributing a big chunk of the money he raised for his campaign. But again, no surprise.
No, but I have to say this while I'm thinking of it. There was an article that I recently, I think I may have told you about this. It was in the Wall Street Journal, I think. And the article was written by an expert in Iranian politics. He's written on it for about 20 years.
Yes, yes.
I wish I could think of his name right now. It's escaping me. But he claims that the name Obama, in when you break it down to Obama, means he is with us. And that is part of
what
is supposed to be, yes, and that is what is supposed to be part of a prediction about the, is it about the Mahdi?
Yeah. Was that Farsi or was that Arabic?
It may have been in Arabic. I can't, I apologize. Sorry. Again, brain is dulled by keeping my postnasal drip at bay.
Looking it up now, and I'll find this. And I will link the article, the original article from the Wall Street Journal to... it is in the Persian alphabet. Family name Obama in the Persian alphabet reads O-ba-ma, which means he is with us, which ties in with certain other prophecies regarding a tall, handsome man who would arise in the West.
A tall black man is what it actually says.
And would...
who will rise in the West, and if you remember his logo, it shows a sun rising over the red, white, and the what looks like the flag, and that flag symbolizes the West.
Yeah. Now, this was a report that was originally circulated on an Iranian website, reported in the Wall Street Journal by this scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is being denied by a Shiite scholar in the West. Not in the West, but I mean in Dubai.
Exactly. I honestly don't know how true any of this is, but I'm saying it was in a mainstream
publication
paper,
in Iran.
Publication, thank you very much.
Which, of course, means government-controlled.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal is a huge publication for something like that to appear in.
Yeah. So we will put those articles, again, at PIDradio.com in the show notes. So you can go back and look at it yourself and discern. And, you know, again, take it for what it's worth, but it's interesting that this information came out in Iran and that they are looking to him as a savior. It's also interesting that Barack Obama has promised to appear in a major Arabic capital within the first 100 days of his presidency to try to
give a major policy speech or a major speech. At
right.
least. Also, that he has all along said he would sit down with Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
With no any kind of contingency plan or no advance, you know, sending in bureaucrats or anything. He'd just sit down and talk to him.
A postscript, by the way, that article was in Forbes.
Oh, sorry about that.
But that's totally okay. We're going off of memory, shooting from the hip, and just trying to sift through the data.
Yeah, I often use notes, or I have my computer in front of me, but Sam is here instead. So,
yes.
And Sam didn't have any notes on him at all.
He's much more comfortable to keep on your lap for a long period than, well, no, he's not either, but he's a lot more fun. So what else is going on as we look ahead to 2009? Well, there's some books that we recommend that will be published in 2000. One for sure.
I know
one
for sure.
Yeah, the one for sure is Russ Dizdar's Black Awakening, which we've been waiting for several years.
Yes,
and
we have.
He's advised us that it should be out within the next few weeks.
And we hope to review it soon because he promised to send us a copy. Russ,
yeah.
Reminder.
Oh, you know, an electronic copy is okay. We know that sending those hard copies to the mail is expensive.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Electronic is actually perfect.
But, yeah, do look forward to it because the Black Awakening and Russ's experiences and research into what's going on here mm-hmm. have done a lot to educate us and inform the commentary that we provide.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Sue Bradley has written writing a multi-part series. She's got four parts in there now at peeringintodarkness.com. Boy, oh boy, she has done some amazing research.
Yeah.
Sue Bradley is one of those minds of the century as far as I'm concerned. She is so gifted.
Yeah.
The Lord has given her insights that just... they blow me away.
We'll put links to those articles, too, because those are really worth reading. And her Black Awakening series.
She's been working with Russ Dizdar.
Yes, that's the point I was going to make. She's been working with Russ on the writing of those articles. So recommended reading there. The other book that we're looking forward to as soon as it's complete is Mike Heiser's The Myth That Is True. That's the working title.
Is that still the title he's using? He hasn't changed it?
Not as far as I know. If that's incorrect, I'd appreciate an update. We've read... some of the drafts, revisions of the drafts that he's been working on, he was making those available to his newsletter list at
right.
his website.
And the
website.
Reason I haven't reviewed it or said anything about it is because he is still, in essence, he was writing it last
right.
time I read it. So,
Greg Boyd, Pastor Greg Boyd in Minnesota, has also made some comments and reviews and exchanged some emails with Mike Heiser about the book that he's published on his web at his blog, and those are worth reading too because. Greg Boyd is a pretty mainstream pastor who has actually taken space in his personal blog to talk about Mike Heiser's divine counsel concept, which is not widely acknowledged in mainstream Christianity in the United States.
And yet,
there are other divine beings up there other than Jehovah God and the Godhead.
Only one true eternal God.
Right. The others are created.
They're all
beings.
Created. Exactly.
Right. Supernatural, divine in the sense that they are
They've
supernatural.
Been given rulership
yeah.
over certain areas of the world.
Right.
Of
but
the
there
creation.
Is only one Most High God, the Godhead, you know, the three in one, mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that in English, our term God is it's kind of
right.
a tough one.
Well, even the term angel, we, mm-hmm. we know of the term angel, but in ancient Hebrew, there were a number of terms that denoted, Elohim, Cherubim, mm-hmm. Seraphim, Malachim, you know, that all denoted angelic beings of mm-hmm. different ranks. So,
exactly.
Anyway, we look forward to The Myth That Is True with Mike Heiser coming out sometime in 2009, we hope. But there is good news to report that from Roswell, New Mexico...
Oh,
Guy Malone,
yes.
Guy Malone has announced that there will be an Ancient of Days Bible UFO conference going along with the Roswell UFO Days in early July of 2009. He took last year off, and given the excellent work that Guy did in putting together the first three Ancient of Days conferences, taking a year off was... I think certainly earned,
mm-hmm.
but Guy has also gotten himself into position with the city of Roswell, where he helped coordinate the whole the city's events.
He and Joe Jordan.
And Joe Jordan did this past year, right? So I'm not sure if Guy is working in an official capacity with the city of Roswell this year, but the link to the Ancient of Days conference for 2009. Is linked from the Roswell UFO Festival website, so
which
it's
is
very
amazing.
Possible. It's amazing that a fundamentally sound, doctrinally sound, Bible-believing Christian is involved in helping to plan and coordinate this UFO festival. Because I will tell you, from what we've seen, we've not been there, but from what we've seen and heard from people who have been there, there are an awful lot of people who go to these UFO festivals not looking for scientific evidence of extraterrestrial life. They are looking for metaphysical evidence. They're looking for... A purpose. They're mm-hmm. they're looking for something beyond themselves in which they can believe. There are mm-hmm. a lot of seekers who are going to this event, and the fact that guys like Guy and mm-hmm. Joe Jordan are there on the ground coordinating these events is just
they are preaching the gospel.
Amen. And they are preaching to people who aren't in the choir already.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
And we already know some of the names.
Some of the names that will be at this conference this year. Of course, Guy Malone, his wife, his new wife, Nicole, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Paradox Brown. Joe Jordan, of course. Lynn Marzulli. Dr. Mike Heiser. Gary Bates, who has written a book on... the name of it escapes me now, but it's a UFO-connected work. He's a, I believe, connected with the Creation Museum.
Yes.
Dr. Future. Pastor Chris Ward and Dr. Future. Mike Bennett will be there to talk. And he's one of our favorite people. And by the way, if you haven't listened to Future Quake, a weekly podcast that's produced by Mike Bennett and airs daily on a Christian radio station in Nashville, mm-hmm. Tennessee, you're missing a treat because he brings on great guests. Just had Peter Goodgame on this past week, but he's got some great people appearing on that show on a regular basis. And he and Tom Bionic do a great job. It's entertaining to listen to, but very informational. Mm-hmm. So we highly recommend the Future Quake show. So those are the guests at this point. And we'll put a link to the website so you can find out more. The Ancient of Days Bible UFO Conference coming up in early July.
Yeah, make your reservations soon.
Amen to that. There's no charge to attend, but Guy says if you want a guaranteed seat, you can get one by pre-ordering the DVDs that will be produced from the conference lectures. So that will guarantee you a seat up in the front because they will probably have a pretty good-sized crowd, I would guess.
Yeah, amen.
So, anyway, some things to look forward to for 2009.
Yeah, you and I are doing our writing. We're doing our best. I'm really working hard. I bless your hearts. I get lots of email from people who want to know when the next books are going to be out in the Laodicea Chronicles. I'm writing the final two books at the same time, and it's easier in some ways and tougher in other ways because what it does is it slows down the release of the Doctrines of Demons book, but when it's all done, it will be done. Mm-hmm. So you'll have the entire story from A to Z all at the same time. Working on that, I've been sick now for 2 weeks, so I haven't done a whole lot, to be honest with you. But Derek has pretty much completed the God Conspiracy.
Which sort of fits into the Laodicea Chronicles because it's...
It follows some of the characters from the Armageddon strain.
Right, and from Winds of Evil. There are, in particular, a couple of characters that appear from the Armageddon strain that play a major role in the God Conspiracy, and the events fit into the events that make up the Laodicea Chronicles. It was mm-hmm. kind of fun to kind of fit it in there and compare notes with
Shannon.
Yeah,
we actually put it into the same world timeline that... Things that happened in Laodicea, you refer to in
the Armageddon strain.
Yeah, we really were trying to do that. That's a tricky thing to do.
Yeah.
And when we probably seem like we're really, really dragging our feet. We're not. We're trying to put the best product we can out there. And sometimes it means that I have to rewrite a book several times. And honestly, the Doctrines of Demons is now in its... Oh, I moved my foot and Sam just growled at me.
You know the old expression, let sleeping dogs lie? It was invented about dachshunds. Yeah, dachshunds were the reason for that. You don't mess with them while they're comfortable.
He's a grouchy old man when he's asleep, and I'm grouchy when I'm half asleep as well. But anyway, we're working on them. We're getting them out as quickly as possible, but we're getting them out when they are fully done.
Yeah. The God Conspiracy hopefully will be fully done within, at least as far as the final editing within the next couple of weeks. I'm slogging through it, and I've got about 40% of it left on what I think is my final draft. And then Sharon will go back and fix all my mistakes after I'm done. But we'll have that out soon. I produced an audio version of my young adult novel, Iron Dragons.
Yes.
And that's
very popular.
I was shocked. Let's say considerably more people were willing to listen to me read it than were willing to actually buy a copy and read it themselves, which is okay. It was an interesting experiment, and we'll probably do audio versions of our other novels as time allows.
Yeah, at the very least, we'll record a couple of chapters. So those people who like to just know what the books are about, you can very quickly listen to a podcast and go from there. But we have lots of plans for 2009, and as always, we want to serve the Lord to the best of our abilities. If that means that we do more of these shows in the future of 2009, then we'll definitely do that. We ask you to pray for us. Help us to know exactly how the Lord wants us to proceed regarding PID Radio. We really, really needed the break, and we're so thankful that he made it clear that we needed to take time off. And it's been good. It's helped me to get my mind clear and help me to write. I'm very, very happy with the way the books are turning out now. Honestly, when I was writing Doctrines of Demons in the past, I didn't like the book at all. I really didn't. And I think it's because when you write several books in a row taking place in the same town with the same characters, it's really easy to repeat yourself in that, wait a minute, this sounds just like things that happened in book one. Or you, my fear was that I was really getting stale on it. I thank the Lord that he helped me to see a way that I could refresh the whole idea for me. So it's been a joy writing it this time around.
Well, keep an eye on the websites, SharonKGilbert.com, DerekPGilbert.com. Those are linked from PIDRadio.com, and we'll have information about those projects coming. But again, this podcast, which started as a marketing tool, very quickly morphed away from that. So we probably won't spend a lot of more time
on this program. No, we try not to talk about our books very much.
Right. If you go back to our archives and listen, you'll hear we rarely talk about the books. The reason we mention it this time is just because we got some new things coming, and we just appreciate your attention. We always welcome your feedback and questions, and most of all, as Sharon said, your prayers. The show notes will be with links to all the articles and topics we discussed will be online by the time you're listening to this at PIDRadio.com. And, of course, you can always check out the forum, which is the Piercing the Darkness forum. The link to that is also at the bottom of the show notes for this episode at PIDRadio.com.
And you can send us email. Did we get that? Sorry.
Not yet.
Looking at Sam, and he was just mesmerizing me. Radio at peeringintodarkness.com. We'll get a note to either one of us because we both pick up that email.
And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is PID Radio.